Romans chapter 1 in our study today. We want to try to look at verse 18 down through verse 23. And if we don't get that far, that'll be okay, because Lord willing, we'll come back and pick up where we left off next week. Now, we know in the gospel of God is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the only way God can be just and holy, and yet the justifier of the ungodly. The only way that God can be just and punish our sin, honor his own law, and at the same time magnify his mercy. Now that's the mystery of the gospel, how God can be just, a just God and Savior, how he can be just and the justifier. He is the only just God and Savior. He says that many times in the book of Isaiah. I am God. Beside me there is no other. And we know he's the only just God and Savior. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the power of God unto salvation. Christ himself is the power of God unto salvation. Our Lord declared, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, that I may have mercy on whom I will have mercy, that I may give salvation to whom I will give salvation. Now we know that Paul was ready to preach this message and determined to only preach this message, as he says in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel and only the gospel. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he says, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Now, we don't have to preach, but if we do preach, we better preach the gospel. He says, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. And we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and ourselves, your servant, for Christ's sake. Now, with that introduction, look at verse 18. Not only is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, but here we see this word, the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, a lot of people want to totally dismiss the wrath of God, the judgment of God. They want to dismiss that. But the wrath of God is also revealed in the gospel, as it says there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, from the God of heaven, against some ungodliness. It doesn't say that. Against all ungodliness, all sin, all unrighteousness, all ungodlikeness and all unrighteousness. You see, it has to be perfect, perfect to be accepted of God. Anything less than perfection is ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now that leaves me in bad shape, because by nature I'm ungodly. By nature, the best I can muster up, God said, the best righteousness I have is nothing but filthy rags. So that leaves us in a terrible shape, doesn't it? The wrath of God is revealed against all sin, all rebellion, all judgment is revealed against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of sinners, men, but it doesn't exclude women, does it? All mankind. And then it describes those who hold the truth, and they do so, or they regard the truth as unrighteous. Isn't that amazing? The rebel holds and looks to the truth, who is Christ, who is the true God, the only true God and Savior, and they do that with contempt. They look truth right square in the face. Pilate said, what is truth? Well, he was looking at truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth personified. And those Jews in that day said, away with him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. So what were they doing? They were holding the truth in contempt and disdain. They were holding the truth in an ungodly manner. Regarded the Lord Jesus Christ. They called him a winebibber. They called him a devil. They called him a gluttonous man. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. In that gospel is the justifying righteousness of God revealed. But in that same gospel, we also see the revelation of the wrath of God revealed from the God of heaven against everything that's contrary to the God of heaven. Now, some have suggested that God is all love and does not show any wrath, or he will not show wrath. Now, think about this. God told Noah he was going to send a flood. Judgment. Judgment. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of truth. The whole 120 years that Noah preached the gospel, he was saying, get in the ark. Wrath is coming. Get in the ark. Judgment is coming. And one day judgment fell. And the wrath of God fell. The wrath of God fell on that ark. And those inside that ark were safe. But what do we see inside that ark? We see inside that ark, Noah's ark, we see the love of God manifested, don't we? Noah and his family were safe. The wrath of God fell on the ark, but they were safe in that ark. And that's a picture of Christ as well. But outside that ark, what do we see? Don't see the love of God, do we? It used to be years ago, don't see it much anymore. You remember back in the 70s, everybody nearly had on their back bumper, God loves everybody, or God loves you. Remember? You reckon on the back of that ark that day there was a big sign that smile, God loves you? No. Now, you see, people don't like to talk about the wrath of God. But now the wrath of God is so. God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Was that love? No, it was his wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all sin. Well, we know that God is love, right? Scriptures teach that. God is love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us never forget that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. It says in Habakkuk 1:3 that God cannot look upon sin with favor. Now, how do you describe the wrath of God in the light that God is love? Pretty good question, isn't it? Well, I read this statement years ago, and it may have been back years ago. I used to read a lot of books. I don't so much anymore, other than commentaries. But I used to read Arthur Pink and Spurgeon, some others, back when I was cutting my teeth and growing. But I read a statement by, I think it was Pink or Spurgeon or one of those old writers, when he talked about the wrath of God and the love of God. And he described it this way. The wrath of God is the holiness of God stirred into activity against sin. That's a pretty good definition. The wrath of God is his holiness stirred against sin. Now, God is love, but his love is holy love. His justice is holy justice. His mercy, God is merciful, but not at the expense of his justice. That's why Calvary is absolutely necessary. That's why the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. His wrath is a display of his holiness against sin. Now write that down somewhere, or at least put it in your mind somewhere. But I used to be able to remember those things when I was 30 years ago, but I can't anymore. If I don't write it down, it's just like a leaking bucket. It just goes right out. My youngest son's birthday was yesterday. I didn't even remember to send him a text message, happy birthday. And my wife chastised me. Well, you know, How do you forget that? Well, I just did. But God, in regard to our sin, through the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Even at Calvary, we see the display of his love, don't we? At Calvary, hearing his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. At Calvary, we see the love of God displayed, don't we? We see the love of God displayed, but what else do we see? We see the wrath of God displayed as well, don't we? One of my favorite scriptures about what happened at Calvary, so much so, God will not look upon sin with favor, even when it's found in the beloved Son, whom he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But when God made him to be the object of, when God made him to be sin for us, he became the object of God's wrath, the object of God's justice. We see in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? Because God cannot look on sin with favor. That's why the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God can't look upon sin with favor. Please the Lord to bruise him in our room and in our stead. But one of my favorite verses to help us understand about what was happening at Calvary is Lamentation 1 verse 12, where Jeremiah is weeping over the destruction of Jerusalem. And that verse says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Now, you can take the words of Jeremiah and put them on the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We see the display of God's fierce anger against sin. And again, it's his holiness stirred into activity against sin. Now, all men, includes all of us, all men are deserving of the judgment of God, the wrath of God, because all men are what? Guilty. Guilty. It says over here, one page over in Romans 3:19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." And then it says down in verse 23 of Romans 3, "For all have sinned." Does that include you? All have sinned and have come short. We've come short of the glory of God. Now, if you picked up a baseball and tried to throw a baseball to the North Pole, you pick up a baseball and try to throw it to the North Pole and hit the North Pole. Now, some may be able to throw the baseball 100 yards, some 200 yards. But everybody who throws the baseball is going to come short. We all come up short. No matter who it is, we've come up short. We have not honored God, glorified God as we ought to. We've come up short. We've come up short. We've all sinned and come up short. Every man has sinned against God, and he has sinned against the light he's been given, whatever light that may be, the light of creation, the light of law, the light of conscience. Because men by nature love darkness and hate light, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They hold the truth, regard the truth, and hold the truth in unrighteousness. 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 The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. The preaching of the cross is pure foolishness. And then we know this too, where it says in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind, that is our natural inclination, our natural thoughts, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Therefore, by the flesh, in the flesh, no man can please God, not in the least way. Not in the least way. Now, I jumped way ahead of myself. I missed page 2 and went right to page 3. And y'all didn't even catch it. I didn't either. The wrath of God is revealed and manifested and made known by the God of heaven against everything that is contrary to the gospel, against every way of salvation by works. The Lord said, away with it, it's filthy rags. Against every way of ungodliness and sinful wickedness of the flesh, that's against God. God is against every way that is opposed to the gospel of God concerning Christ, who hold the truth in contempt, who would change the truth of God into a liar. We're going to see in Romans chapter 3, said, let God be true, and every man a liar. But it says down there in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Now, the good news of the gospel of Christ is that's the power of God unto salvation, is that He has delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, it says that. Let's turn and read that so you can mark it. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He's turned us to God from our idols. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. And here's the good news of the gospel. Yes, the wrath of God is revealed against all rebellion, sin, and ungodliness, unrighteousness. But He's turned us to God from our idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for a Son from heaven whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. You see that in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. He delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, the wrath to come. Since Christ took our sins in His own body on the tree, suffered the wrath of God for my sin, now, therefore, in Christ, there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, remember? There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. There is no more wrath toward the believer, because the Lord Jesus Christ took all my sin, all my judgment, all my guilt, and He took my wrath, the wrath that was due my sin. He took it all and gives me His righteousness. There is therefore now in Christ Jesus no condemnation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power. Now, God has all power, and He's had all power forever. His eternal power and Godhead, so that all men everywhere are without excuse. All men everywhere are without excuse for the rebellion against the God of heaven. Because, why? Because He said so. He said all men are without excuse. That satisfies me. All men are without excuse. God said so. Let him be true, God be true, and every man a liar. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In Adam, all are guilty, subject to judgment. Well, someone might say, well, I object to that truth of Adam's sin being imputed to all men, and especially if Adam, what Adam did, is imputed to me. I don't like that idea. Okay, well, think about this. How have you done on your own? You're still a sinner. In Adam all died. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. All men are deserving of the wrath of God because all are guilty. And every man has sinned against the light he's been given, whether it be the light of creation or the light of conscience. We're going to see later on in Romans chapter 2 that the law is written upon our conscience, upon our heart. And even creation itself declares that God is God. And every man has sinned against the light that he's been given, because by nature we love darkness and hate the light, because we love ourselves and we hate God. Now look at verse 20 carefully. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, we had this morning some rain showers. The rain declares God is God. The sun is shining. The very fact that the sun controls this whole solar system of ours declares that God is the God of all creation. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. There's not a man alive that doesn't know something about the sun, about the elements of nature, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. Even in the light of creation, where his eternal power and Godhead are revealed, for the creation itself reveals that there is a God who is almighty and everlasting. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing made that was not made by him. By him all things were made, and by him all things consist. In Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. But now watch. But even in this revelation of God in creation, men don't worship the Creator. That's what it says there. Being understood by the things that are seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But instead of worshiping the Creator of all things, men are so fallen and so wicked, instead they worship the creation instead of the Creator. In other words, they worship nature, don't they? Now, I've run into people like this. Or what they call, I've got to go out in the woods because I get close to God out in the woods. Well, God's in the city too. He's everywhere present. They say they like to get out in the woods to be close to nature because that's where God is. And they say, well, we like to get close to Mother Nature or Father Evolution. Yet, God holds men without excuse. They refuse to walk in any other way but away from God. They worship the creation rather than the Creator of all things. Many of you know my dear friend John Chapman. He's preached for me many times here over the years. But I remember something he said 30, 35 years ago about the evolutionists. They say this: it's much easier to look at a monkey and say, look how far we've progressed, than to acknowledge God and say, look how far we have fallen. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? That's what the evolutionists say. Well, we look at that monkey and we say, man, we've made progress. No, it's just downhill. Downhill. And then, instead of acknowledging God and say, we are fallen, we've sinned against God, we've all come short of the glory the glory of God. Let's take a quick look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, now creation declares that there is a God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Even when creation declares that God is the God of creation, even the sun, the stars, the clouds, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the lakes, the oceans, the seas, all declare that God is God. All creation can even be used to declare the gospel of God. God is light. He's the water of life. He's the rivers of water in a dry place. He's the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. David said, my eyes look up, look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He is the tree of life. All creation, we can take all creation, the elements of nature, and we can use those things that it does in the Word of God to declare the gospel. But yet they did not honor God, did not glorify him, nor believe him as God. And that's the chief end of man, and that is to glorify God. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imagination. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And their foolish heart, as it says there, those three things. They were not thankful that God created all things. They had vain thoughts about God. And their heart, which was foolish, was darkened even more in ignorance and blindness before God. My dear pastor, Brother Mahan, had this in his commentary. Those who will not have God to reign over them will have darkness and death to reign continually in them. Okay, we'll pick up there next week. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they just really reveal their foolishness before God.